Advocacy for All. Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Cricket Podcast with George and Isaac. We'll be talking about the Ashes second test, where the Aussies have taken an unassailable 2-0 lead. A few controversies, to say the least, but first of all, a big hello from my partner in crime, George. George, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, keep myself going.
Absolutely. So it's hard to know where to start. Australia have taken a commanding 2-0 lead, winning by 43 runs, which makes the Headingley Test a must-win for England. Mm-hmm. George, what did you think of England's overall performance in the second test?
I think it was very good. They dropped a few catches. Some of them difficult ones, but, you know, the Bairstow catch he dropped, I think, well, you should have got that, you know, and any other keeper would have got that. Mm. Stokes' innings was very good. I think they've done very well. It's just that they just let the Aussies get away, you know. But, you know, overall, I thought they played very well. It's just that they just couldn't keep up with the Aussies at the time, you know. And you know, the thing I think that's helped England a lot, I know it sounds terrible, was that Lyon isn't playing anymore because of his calf strain, wasn't it? I think something like that.
He's a big loss for the Aussies, isn't he?
To do what he's done was 100 consecutive test matches without, you know, and he's close to 600 wickets at the moment, isn't he? 500 and not 500, something like that. So, and to lose him, you know, is a big loss for them. It's a boost for us, but it's a big loss for them, really.
Absolutely.
You know.
You know, you mentioned about Ben Stokes and his second innings, which was like 155, where he put on his Superman cape, basically, and does what only Ben Stokes can do. Even though it was in vain, it was such an outstanding knock. What did you make of it?
I thought it was a very good knock. I thought he, because once he lost Bairstow, he thought, right, I've got to do something here because I'm down to the bowlers. Mm. And even though, which he didn't, but even though Brawl can hold an end up, he thought, right, I might as well take charge here. The way he was playing, I thought he was on for a 200 at least.
Yeah.
Especially comparing to the one he scored against South Africa.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, where he more or less, what's he, run himself out, really, didn't he, with that?
yeah.
When Ben Stokes gets a bee in his bonnet like that, he's so difficult to play against. It's similar to what Root does. Once you get something in, that's it. I'm there. I'm gonna bat. I'll go bat for forever. And he just took on the bowlers. He was, you know, five, six sixes or something like that. You know, poor old bowlers were still like that because, whoa, where's that gone? You know, he almost he nearly hit one out of the ground, which is very rare at Lords, but is. You know, he just took them on, you know, and then I think Broad saw it. It's all right. I'll have a go now. So he had a go as well.
Well, it's really funny that you talked about Stokes having a bee in his bonnet because that takes us to the two controversies that we had. So let's look at the controversy that might have put the bee in Ben Stokes' bonnet. And that was the stumping of Johnny Bairstow. Mm. Now, Johnny Bairstow had left the crease before the umpire called over. Mm. And so that was really, really clear. Mm. And the wicketkeeper knocked the stumps. Mm. Carey knocked the stumps. And England were absolutely furious. Even though Johnny Bairstow actually tried to do exactly the same thing with... was it Marcus Lachaine? How do you pronounce his
Labuschagne.
Name? Labuschagne. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
The crowd got heated. Broad told Carey that you'll forever be remembered for that.
Yeah.
And then at lunchtime, you had these MCC members.
Yeah.
That they've got three MCC members who have been suspended as there was a confrontation with the Aussies as they went into lunch. And I don't know if you remember, but in the first test, when Robinson bowled Khawaja, Did you see what he was shouting? And it was very sort of like very, very sweary, and just sort of like like that. And you would say that was not in the spirit of the game.
And they didn't do anything about it.
They didn't do anything about that. And the argument really is about, you know, the spirit of cricket. So what are your thoughts on this, George? Because as fans of the Ashes, and particularly knowing the Ashes from a historical point of view, we both really know and appreciate how competitive the Ashes can be. So what are your thoughts on
I think the thing is, the issues with Bairstow and even the one with Stark, you can tell, even on the replays, you can tell as he goes down, the ball goes to the ground.
That's right.
Even though he's got his hand on the ball,
yeah,
the ball's on the ground.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not out. The ball's touched the ground.
Yeah.
All right. As with the Bairstow, well, he was silly to himself. He must have known. You've got to wait for the umpire to say over. Once he says over, you can leave your ground, you can do whatever, you can go make yourself a cup of tea if you like, you know, but to literally walk out your ground, look behind and see that the wicketkeeper's got the ball in his gloves, he's going to throw the stumps down. You know, well, it's his own fault. He must have realised that was going to happen. As for going back, I mean, a lot of the players nowadays, they play together now all over the world. In franchise cricket, didn't they? They should be used to each other. You mean you've got some of the fast bowlers from Australia, they're playing over in the Indian Premier League with some of our England players.
Absolutely.
So they get to meet each other, they get to be friends, they're in the same dressing room with each other. I mean, Bairstow used to always say, he said when he first started doing the IPL, he said he was sitting in the same dressing room with Virat Kohli at the time, one of the best batsmen in the world, still is, one of the best batsmen in the world.
Absolutely.
You had Rohit Sharma, the now Indian captain.
Yeah.
And he said, I'd only done a few tests or a few one dayers and whatever, and played against those boys. And then 5 minutes later, you're sitting in the same dressing room as probably two of the best batsmen in the world.
So we'll pause for a break, and in the next part, we'll need to talk about the Independent Commission for Equity in the Cricket Report. And then also look to the third test, which is currently being played as we speak. You're listening to Advocacy for All. So welcome back. George, I think it's fair to say that we could and probably should devote a whole episode to this, because the findings of the ICEC report were very damning. So this is from Sean Ingle, who is the chief sports reporter for The Guardian. England cricket suffers from widespread and deep-rooted racism, sexism, elitism, and class-based discrimination at all levels of the game, and urgently needs reform, a landmark report has found. The 317-page report from the Independent Commission for Equity in Cricket, ICEC, which drew on evidence from more than 4,000 players, coaches, administrators, and fans, also urges the sport to also face up to the fact that it's not banter or just a few bad apples causing the problems. George, in our job at Advocacy for All, we do sometimes have to deal with discrimination. We were actually talking about it yesterday, weren't we? I was really struck by the term widespread and deep-rooted. What does it say about the governance of cricket, and what would you like to see happen next?
Well, I'd like them to more or less put their foot down towards it. I mean, you look at the thing that happened at Yorkshire, the discrimination they had with the their Asian players there. He's a player. It doesn't matter what colour his skin is, he's a player. You can tell there is sexism in there. When you see sometimes the way they treat some of the lady cricketers, even that's been dating right back to when ladies started playing cricket.
Yeah.
You can see there is. I know the late Rachel Hayhoe Flint. She tried to get rid of it and tried to even it out, even when she was on the MCC committee. You know, and you think to yourself, well, cricket's for everybody. You know, it might have been deep rooted many years ago, but it's open. It's all over the world. All over the world play cricket. You've got Indian ladies playing it. You've got Sri Lankans, Bangladeshis. So why be discriminative? Why be, you know, you've got to be equality. You've got the same type of thing in football. They looked into it in football, you know. I mean, you look at the England side, when they were playing football back in the, early 70s, there was not one black player there.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for people like Laurie Cunningham.
Tell me about it. Well, that was a good shout there, George.
Who started playing football for England. He was one of the first black players to play. You got, you know, it's a mixture.
It was a West Bromwich Albion.
West Brom.
Now imagine this. So, Laurie Cunningham, Brendan Batson, and, who else was it?
Cyril Regis.
Thank you. Do you know what their nickname was? The Three Degrees.
Mm.
Because there was a singing group of three black women.
Yeah.
And that was their nickname. Yeah. And then you think to yourself, wow.
Mm.
That was the 70s, and people obviously understand that that's not acceptable.
Mm.
But the fact that this report is out now in 2023, George, and that it's widespread and deep rooted.
And as you say, they've talked to former players, they've talked to members of administrators and whatever, and even then they've found it's still there.
Mm.
You know. I mean cricket, well, like most sports, it's supposed to be for the people.
Mm.
It's supposed to be there watching a good game of cricket. Doesn't matter what colour you are or what sex you are
or what class,
or what, I mean, class, yeah, yeah,
they're even talking about it being class based as well. Discrimination,
it might have started many years ago as a game for gentlemen, but you know, you look, as I said before, cricket is spread all over the world now.
Absolutely. So what would you like to see happen next? So you've got this report now. This report is really, really damning. What needs to happen next?
I don't know. I think a lot of the administrators and a lot of the coaches of that have got to look at themselves.
Mm.
They've got to think, well, I've got a mixed culture in my team. If someone's going to be discriminative, probably a coach or something, get rid of them. Get someone who is going to be, you know, honest with himself and honest with his players, and they've got to change.
Mm.
You know, they've got to change for the better. Otherwise, as I say, cricket's going to end up underground, and you wouldn't be able to go to Lords and say, well, can I sit in the members' end or can I sit wherever? Doesn't matter who I am or what the colour of my skin is. I'm a cricket fan, or I'm an administrator. I've come to watch which player I might want to buy to bring back to my county or something like that, you know.
But it's also about feeling welcome, isn't it?
Oh,
because
yes.
If you know that there's bad stuff that is going on, then there's every chance that A, you might not want to go to a match just because you don't feel that you'd feel welcome. Mm. But it's just so weird that it's we're at 2023.
Yeah, and it's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah, it's all wrong, you know. And you think to yourself, cricket is, as I said to you before, cricket is for the people. It doesn't matter what colour your skin is, it's for everybody. I could knit a ball for a toffee. But, I mean, I still sit there and watch the game.
Mm.
I understand some of the rules of the game, you know. But why not introduce it to people that, you know, that want to learn about the game?
Mm.
You know, no matter what, as I said before, no matter what colour they are, you know, it could be pink with yellow spots or something. Let him play.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally come over from another country. He wants to play cricket.
Yeah.
Or he was born over here.
Yeah.
You know, he might be of Asian consent.
You mean descent?
Descent, that's the word. Might be of Asian descent. So what? You know, I mean, you look at Moeen Ali.
Yeah.
He's of Asian descent. He's playing for England.
Mm.
He's almost played, nearly 50 caps? Mm. He's played one dayers.
Mm.
all over the world. He's played T20s all over the world. He's literally won a T20 World Cup. When was it? Last year? Year before?
Yeah.
He's won a World Cup.
Yeah.
What, 4 years ago? He's English.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Simple. You know,
it doesn't matter, as I always say, it doesn't matter the colour. He's playing cricket. Because he's got his love of his game. He loves playing cricket. He wants to go out there. He wants to bowl, do his spinners. He's an off spinner. Or he'll go out there and do his batting. I mean, I remember his first 100 for England. You know, the crowd went mad. Yeah. Didn't matter what colour he was or whether he had a beard or whether he had a crocodile head on. He went out there, he played for England.
Yeah.
Because he always said, that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He said he wanted to play for England. You know, he was watching people like Ian Botham smacking it all over the place, or he was watching David Gower making his graceful 200s or something like that.
Ever so graceful.
You know, he'd hit the ball and it'd go end up in the boundary before you had a blink of an eye. You know, but he just wanted to play cricket. He wanted to play for England.
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So after this break, we're going to have another break, and then what we'll do is we'll talk about the third test, which has already started.
Mm.
And we'll talk about the changes that they've made and what you expect to happen.
Mm. Hopefully an England win.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. You're listening to Advocacy for All. And welcome back. So, the third test is currently being played.
Mm-hmm.
England have made three changes, George. So they've brought in Mark Wood and Chris Wokes and Moeen Ali. Mm. Ollie Pope has been ruled out of the series, but England have opted against replacing him with Dan Lawrence, the spare batter in their squad. And so what they've decided to do is they've moved Harry Brook up to number three with all-rounders Wokes and Moeen added to bolster the lower order.
Mm.
And then we've got Wood, who's joining Wokes and Stuart Broad and Ollie Robinson in the pace attack. Mm. And they're resting Josh Tung and James Anderson. What are your thoughts on these changes?
I think they're good, because especially the... Well, I don't know what the pitch is playing like, but it's a... I can understand why they're resting Anderson, because he's in his 40s now and he does need looking after. And the first couple of tests, the ball wasn't going anywhere. It was just straight as a die, really, no matter what he tried. And as you said, with Old Trafford coming up, it's more or less it's his home ground, and he does like bowling there, and he'll do some damage there. Whether they'll bring him back for that, I don't know. As for Wokes, yes, I can understand with Wokes, because he can make the ball go all over the place. He can. He's also quite a good batsman as well. You know, he'll even if he doesn't do a Stokes and smack them all over the place, he'll hold an end up. He'll score his runs, and we all know what Moeen can do anyway. He's always considered himself more of a batsman than a bowler. But his bowling's coming on, Headingley, probably later on in the test, probably would spin. He probably wouldn't spin today, unless, I mean, Stokes might try him out later on today. See, you know, once the ball gets a little bit older, you know,
and once the pace bowlers have sort of like left their footmarks
left their imprint on them. Mind you, sometimes, I mean, I've seen going back to the late Shane Warne, even if there was footmarks there, he could spin it off a dinner plate, you know. So he'd probably find a bit of the pitch that wasn't scuffed up. It'll go everywhere.
Shane Warne was particularly special, though, wasn't he?
Warne was one in a million. He's one of these players that, you know, you'd only get once in a lifetime, really, wouldn't you? He's, God rest his soul, but he's, you know, he was one of these players. And he was also off the pitch, he was also a very talkative, very friendly man. It didn't matter who you were, you could be of the opposition, he'd always go and have a drink with you.
Yeah.
You know, and he sadly missed, you know, especially in the commentary, because they used to wind him up like anything in the commentary.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. So we're at day one, and the game's currently at lunch at the moment, and Australia, their first innings is 98 for 4. David Warner was caught by Crawley, bowled by Broad. He was out for 4. Khawaja was bowled by Wood for 13 runs. Labuschagne caught by Root and bowled by Wokes for 21 runs. And Steve Smith caught by Bairstow and bowled by Broad for 22. That's quite a good start for day one at lunch, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, they even though Smith played well in the last game, he was always more or less the wicket you want, because he's probably, as I say, he's one of the top batsmen in the world. And to get him early, what was it, early 20s he made, it's, you know, it's a feather in the cap for Broad and for England, you know, they're and Labuschagne and even Khawaja, as I said earlier on, when Khawaja's out, you know, because that's more or less the backbone of their squad.
Yeah.
That is a good score. Now we've got them 4 down, whether or not we can knock them out for a low score or something, as long as we don't let Carey or Head take over. So it's a shame about Pope. He was batting well, and he to damage his shoulder the way he did when he fell is just, you know, all part of cricket really, isn't it? You know,
he's had quite a few injuries in his shoulders, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he does the short leg work quite well, doesn't he? So he's quite, you know.
So tell me, England, this is must win. Otherwise, the Ashes are done.
They're gone.
They're gone, yeah. What do you reckon is going to happen?
I reckon we could do it if we bat well in the first innings, because it's always done on the first innings. So if we bat well, probably pass whichever score they make and probably put them under pressure in the second innings, we might even, you know, I should reckon we should do it. Who knows? I'd say cricket's a funny old game.
It really, really is. Yeah. But fingers crossed that England can get the win. Now, we've promised our listeners that we were going to come up with a much better name than the Cricket Podcast with George and Isaac. What are your thoughts?
Silly Point or something? Or
I mean, we do make plenty of them.
Oh, yeah. Silly Point or... I'm going to have to go home and have a ponder and see what we can find out. And if I find a good one for you, I'll text you.
Yeah, text me. Send me a text. Well, listen, many thanks to George. Great insight yet again. And we're going to go back and watch the rest of the day's play. And then next episode, we'll continue with the third test, because we've still got another 4 days. Can England pull one back, or will Australia claim the Ashes with 2 tests to play? Please, no, no.
You've been listening to the Cricket Podcast with George and Isaac. Please subscribe to our show and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Advocacy for All and Twitter at Bigger Voice. This podcast was engineered by Isaac and produced by the media team of Advocacy for All.